What's up? This Movies on Up discussion episode. Favorite Denzel Washington movies. It's not where you're from, it's where you're at. I am Dave, joined by the Denzel to my Washington, Ryan McGeehee.
I am right at here, across from you at the table.
Yes, so that's Ryan. I'm Dave. We are Movies on Up. This is our discussion episode where, in a few minutes, we'll be giving our favorite Denzel movies in honor of Two Guns coming out this week. Our tagline for this episode, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at. If you know what movie that is from, hit us up on Twitter at Movies on Up. MoviesOnUp at gmail.com, facebook.com/MoviesOnUp, or find us on our website, MoviesOnUp.com. This week, as I said, Two Guns comes out starring Denzel and Marky Mark. So we've been wanting to do discussion episodes on certain actors or directors for a while, so we figured this week is perfect to do our first like actor-centric episode, and Denzel's a perfect starting point.
I thought so.
Usually when we do a genre, like favorite monster movies or something, I'll come up with about 20 or so movies and then whittle them down. I think I had about 17 that I thought were list-worthy on Denzel's list that I had to try to whittle down. So
it's hard to find ones that aren't list worthy.
Even the ones that I didn't consider list worthy, I wouldn't say are bad movies. Like, it's hard to find.
I feel like I've got at least one of those on here. The guy, obviously, is a pretty fair actor.
Yeah.
And he picks good projects. There are good actors that have that syndrome where they can't say no.
He's not one of them.
No. Yeah. No, he's not one of them.
53 acting credits, I believe. And that's on 30-some years of work. So he's kind of picky, but before we get to our favorite Denzel movies, it's time for a bonus. These are the top four movies that beat out Denzel Washington at the Oscars. Four times he's lost Oscars. These are what beat him. Number four, Scent of a Woman.
Hoo-ah!
You gonna tell me Al Pacino saying hoo-ah, walking around with a cane, is better than Denzel Washington portraying Malcolm X? That movie, you're going to say Scent of a Woman can even be in the same dresser as...
Hey, man, Annie Hall beat Star Wars. I don't get the Oscars.
But, yeah, so no, Denzel Washington, that's kind of why him winning Training Day makes me mad, because that shouldn't have been his first Oscar, and it makes me angry. Number three, Lincoln. All right, Daniel Day-Lewis.
I'm not going to make fun of that.
No, Daniel Day-Lewis was amazing in that movie. I wouldn't have even, as good as Denzel was... I kind of didn't think he deserved the nom for that. Like, he's had a million better performances. Number two, American Beauty. That one, okay. Kevin Spacey was okay in that. That was one of those nominations where it's like, all right, you played Reuben Carter. All right, here you go. Number one, The Untouchables. The first time Denzel was nominated for an Oscar, Cry Freedom, Best Supporting Actor. Lost out to Sean Connery. I'm okay with that because I love The Untouchables.
You talk about Oscar moments that people have to have, and Sean Connery talking about, like, they send one of ours to the hospital, you send one of theirs to the morgue. Like, it just, that's a great movie.
It just like with Training Day, had King Kong ain't got nothing on me. Yeah, so we touched on a little bit about coming up with our list. I mean, you go back to the beginning of his list, and he hits a point in, I don't know, what, late eight, like, I think Cry Freedom, the first one he was nominated for an Oscar for, just kicks off 25 years of just solid after solid after solid.
Yeah, I mean, there are actors, you know, that have been around a long time. You know, Samuel Jackson's been around a long time, but he's got some turds that if we were doing a list, you would absolutely not think about putting those on there at all.
Yeah, and you could go through somebody like Samuel Jackson and think, oh, that's a movie I never even heard of. Denzel makes, when he makes a movie, it's a big enough movie that if you pay any attention, like, there's no movies on here, you know, outside of the first couple years. Well, even, you know, License to Kill, that's a TV movie that I'm not familiar with. Everything else, it's like, oh yeah, I remember this movie. I've seen this movie, and most times, I like this movie.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I've seen all of Denzel's movies, because I haven't. But this was one of the ones where, of the ones I have seen, way easy to come up with five. And I'm not saying that these are the five best, because they're not.
Like, these are my five favorite.
And are,
because you know what? Spoiler alert, Malcolm X is in my top five.
Not in mine either.
Is that probably Denzel's best movie from an overall standpoint? it's up there. It's definitely top five, but these are our favorite Denzel movies.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you want to get into it?
Yeah, enough dancing around it. Your number five Denzel Washington movie.
This is a perfect one, I think, to start off with, because it is not Malcolm X. It is early from, it is very early in his career, from 1991, Ricochet, written by Fred Decker, which at that point, I'm a honk for Fred Decker. So I kind of, that holds a soft place in my heart for that too. And also just the cast in this movie, obviously Denzel, but it was John Lithgow when he was like everyone's arch nemesis, like great villain in that movie. What the hell was his name in it?
Ice-T's in it.
Ice-T's in it. I'm trying to think. I had it written down.
Earl Talbot Blake.
Yeah. Lindsay Wagner, the bionic woman, was in the movie as well. Denzel starts off the movie as a cop, just an LAPD street cop, and he ends up busting this master criminal that is Lithgow, puts him behind bars, and then you kind of fast forward into his career a la The Place Beyond the Pines, which is kind of the similar thing we see with Bradley Cooper's character, but we see it here with Denzel, except it's a lot more action. Lithgow breaks out of prison, and he's pissed. He's out for blood, and they go kind of late 80s action-style movie from there. Denzel plays a lot of cops. He plays good cops. He plays bad cops. In this one, he was a good cop. He was made it all the way to good district attorney, and he had a hell of a battle with a really, really good villain, a guy who's still doing really good villains. The Trinity Killer was about where I stopped Dexter, but Lithgow was awesome in that. Some dudes are made to play villains. Lithgow's one, and this is absolutely a Denzel movie. He's the lead. But I almost like Lithgow in it more than I like Denzel.
See, Ricochet is also my number five.
Oh, good.
Wink, wink.
Yeah.
it's a little higher up my list, but we'll say it's my number five. Two more. It's my number three, but we'll move it to my number five.
All right.
The only reason I had trouble justifying this is because, to me, yes, it's a Denzel movie, but Lithgow steals the show.
Like, yes.
I remember the movie because of Lithgow's character. And this is a phase where Lithgow had this and Raising Kane, like, right back to back. So, yes, it's 100% a Denzel Washington movie, but in my memory, it's a Lithgow movie. And, yeah, it's a lot of action to it, but there's a lot more psychological stuff. Like, he's not just out to kill Denzel Washington's character.
He has to ruin him first.
He's out to destroy him and to ruin everything about him. So much that he puts a hooker on him with STDs. Like, that's one of my favorite, like, villainous plots.
He's like Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah. He gives her, you know, he ties him to a bed, has a hooker go at it, gives him an STD, uses audio from something else to put over the video. So it's like a sex tape where he's ordering the house special. Like, that's villainous. That's evil. That's
master criminal.
That's Lithgow of the 90s. And Lithgow's one of those that I think you see him and you don't really realize, you don't see him and think like, oh, he's a great actor, until you see him act. And then it's like, oh yeah, like he's an amazing actor. And to me, he stole Ricochet, but I still love the movie. I mean, it's 91. It kicks off, you know, Denzel in the 90s was like, he made so many good movies. Denzel in the 2000s made so many good movies.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, you could almost do this list just off of Denzel in the 90s. I bet you could do a list, a damn good list, based off movies that we don't have on ours just from 90.
Four of my five, 90s.
Okay, I guess I have three. One, two, three.
We're going to have some crossover.
Technically four. Yeah, well, yeah. I had a feeling that we were going to have some crossover in this,
but that's fine because there's plenty more that I
want
to talk about.
There's a lot in the 90s. Maybe we don't have the crossover you think we do.
Yeah. So that was our number five collectively, Ricochet. Yes. What's your number four?
My number four from the 90s, from 1995. It's a movie my dad made me sit through in the theater because he, as much as I love Fred Decker, he loves submarines. So as a young lad, he took me to see Crimson Tide, which, seeing it the first time as a fifth grader, really don't care at all. But kind of seeing it again, Denzel's really good in this movie. I like to think of this movie as an updated, serious version of Dr. Strangelove. It's very much nuclear tension between U.S. and the Russians, and Denzel plays this newly appointed XO on the Alabama, which is a nuclear submarine. Gene Hackman is sort of the commander of the submarine. The Russians are up to their usual no good skis, and the submarine gets an order, or at least part of an order, about going to attack the Russians, launch the nukes. Hackman's ready to do it. And Denzel says, no, wait, let's try and get the rest of the message. Let's not jump to conclusions. He ends up having a mutiny on the ship, wrestles control away from Hackman, and things don't really work out for him too well either on the ship. It has a really good cast. It's obviously Denzel, Gene Hackman, Viggo Mortensen's in it, James Gandolfini's in it, which might become a little bit of a theme here as we go. But I don't know if it's just the fact that movies that take place like underwater or, you know,
Deep Star Six,
or The Abyss, or that take place on like a spaceship. You can get that claustrophobic feeling where the action and the tension
especially when there's tension.
Yeah, and this very much was tension. Now, I mean, it came along at 95. We were out of the Cold War at that point, so I don't think we were all fearing nuclear end-all war almost on a nightly basis, but whether or not, you know, you launch the missiles at these Russians, it became very, very contentious, and you weren't really sure who's the bad guy in this movie. You know what I mean? For a while, you definitely think it's Hackman, and then, well, I don't know. Maybe he's just kind of doing his job. But I thought it was really good. I mean, this is absolutely a Denzel movie, whereas Ricochet, you know, Lithgow steals the show. I think Denzel probably steals it in this one if it wasn't his to begin with, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it's a good movie. It did not make my list or even my honorable mentions. So we're going to go to my number 4, which was originally my number 5. This one sticks out in Denzel's resume. If you're going through his resume, it really sticks out because what's one thing Denzel you don't really associate him with? Comedy. You know, we had the one in early 80s. What was that called? Carbon Copy. He did that and then didn't really do any comedy and hasn't really done any since 1990's Heart Condition. I love this movie. Like, it's just Bob Hoskins is a really, really racist cop who needs a heart. Denzel Washington, lawyer that Bob Hoskins hates, just recently died. So they give Denzel's heart to Bob Hoskins, which causes Denzel's ghost to come back and say, hey, help me find my killers. You're a cop. And it's hilarious. Like, I realize that's not the most hilarious setup, but it's so good because Bob Hoskins is underrated as an actor, and especially as a leading man, which he was. He's a very competent leading man, and he's very funny when he needs to be. You see Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Like, he has that gritty and the funny at the same time. Same thing in Heart Condition. And Denzel's just funny. Like, you don't see him do... He does have humor. In his movies, he adds a certain element of humor because he does have the timing. But as far as straight-up comedies, he doesn't do them. So this, I would think, is probably his last just straight-up comedy he did. And it's a really good movie. And just the dynamic between him and Hoskins is really fun to watch.
There's nothing else comedy-wise that really comes to mind when I think of Denzel, but I think of more, I think it's his charm that he's able to carry off the humor. And it looks like one of the things that we said a lot about the trailer for Two Guns is, you know, the interplay with him
and Marky Mark
and Mark Wahlberg.
Like, his timing is perfect and he's got the charm to deliver it. So he's fully capable of comedy. He just doesn't do straight up comedies, which, when you're only doing one movie a year, maybe it makes sense, but he can do it. And he proved in Heart Condition from 1990.
Something else that maybe you don't associate, another genre you may not associate Denzel with, is the horror genre. This is a movie that had to be in my list because I've talked about it a couple times and Dave's giving me the, oh man, face.
It's my number one.
Oh, snap. It's from 1998. It's Fallen, directed by Gregory Hoblit, starring Denzel, John Goodman, Donald Sutherland. And James Gandolfini, there's that man again. My number five, and Dave's number five, Ricochet, Denzel plays a cop. Early on in the movie, he gets his man, or at least he thinks he gets his man in this particular instance, where he watches the execution of the serial killer, thinking that...
Elias Koteas.
Yeah, that's his guy. But then the killings keep happening. And before Koteas dies, he says something about, like, this fallen angel may have kind of made him do it. It wasn't his fault. Denzel kind of doesn't believe him and then ends up, like, tracking down this guy who is possessed by this angel, busts a cap in him, and then he sort of has to, again, a bit like Ricochet, he's got to kind of try and repair his life. He starts getting framed for stuff and fallen, so he's got to kind of clear his name and track down a demon at the same time, which is a little out of the Denzel wheelhouse, but really, really good. It is absolutely not your normal, prototypical Denzel movie, but I think it's awesome.
And this is my number. It was my number one, spoiler alert, but now we'll pretend it's my number, what,
three?
I like this because what Denzel does so well, and that no matter what role he takes on, there's always an inner conflict that he displays so well. Like, you can look at him and see that there's just turmoil going on inside him. That's what drives Fallen, because he's following a spirit. Like, there's not... It's embodied by, you know, Elias Koteas at the beginning, but then at that point, he doesn't have a villain that he's chasing. It's not him hunting down John Lithgow. Like, it's him hunting down this demon.
This villain that could be anybody.
Could be anybody. So there isn't that, you know, there isn't that villain like that Lithgow and Ricochet to raise him up to the level. You know, there's not anybody for him to play off of. The cast is great. Gandolfini, Goodman, you know, Elias Koteas, and Beth Davids. Like, there's a good cast, but there's nobody that he's really going head-to-head with the entire time to raise his level. But he does that himself, and it's so good. It's just such a good movie. Like, not just – I don't just love it as a Denzel movie. I love it just as a movie. Like, Fallen is one of those movies I'll bring up any chance I get, because I love this movie, which is why it probably should be my number one instead of my number three. But it's just such a good movie. It's not your horror, like you dubbed it horror, which it kind of, it's more psychological thriller.
I mean, I guess, but
I mean, no, I see where you're coming from.
Denzel Washington, Demon Hunter.
Yeah, I know. And so I see where you're, I'm not saying you're wrong. It doesn't feel.
You're just saying I'm not right.
It doesn't. No, it's technically a horror movie. He's hunting a spirit, but it's more than that, because Denzel makes it more than that. And it's just one of those movies that if you put somebody like a Ryan Reynolds or in the lead.
Or the dude.
Yeah, in the lead, it's going to fall flat, because it does need him to put the whole thing on his back and just run with it. And he does. And Denzel's more capable of that than 99.9% of people on the planet. So
this movie is maybe corny with a lesser actor.
It's
in
a
it.
Throwaway thriller.
Yeah,
you know, it's a Last Exorcism if you put Josh Hartnett in the lead,
sure,
which is relevant in 98.
Yeah, so that's my number three, Fallen.
Mine too.
Yeah, imagine that.
So what's your? Are we up to number two already?
We are up to number two already. But I have a feel like we'll have a lot of ones that didn't make the list that we could talk enough about.
I guarantee your number two is going to be my number one, and then my number four, or my number, your number two is going to be my number two, and then my number four is going to end up being my number one.
All right, well, my number two is the most recent of the Denzel entries. It is from 2012. It's Flight. I didn't think you'd have this on the list.
No, I don't.
So I felt okay about putting it on here. I absolutely love this movie. When it first came out, I like Robert Zemeckis as much as the next guy, I guess, but he doesn't blow me away. The fact that he was directing it, live-action Robert Zemeckis movie, didn't make me want to run out and see it on the first day. But I had some time, so I went, and he was so good in this movie. He beat me into submission with the way he plays Captain Whittaker. I thought it was just going to be like, oh, what if, you know, Captain Sully was drunk when he landed in the Hudson? But the movie is so much more than that. Maybe it's just because my expectations were really low, but his portrayal of that addict character, I mentioned it when we talked about Smashed at the beginning of the week, which is, you know, very much a story about addiction. Mary Elizabeth Winstead was very good in her role because they make you, they do terrible things. And you should not like these people because they're bad people. They're flawed people. But the way they both portray their characters, you end up falling in love with them. You can't help but like them. And as bad as Denzel is, as many mistakes as he makes out of this, all he has to do is just stay in a hotel room for a night and not get messed up. You know, just the simple, you would think the simplest things, you're rooting so hard for him to do it. And even after he proves time and time again that just when you think he can't do anything worse, he does, you're still right to the very end. You want him to make good. And that's because of Denzel. It's because he's able to be charming and charismatic and turn what should be an abominable character into one that you're actually rooting for.
Him in the court saying, "I'm drunk right now," is one of my favorite moments. He's very good in this movie. I had issues with the movie. I felt it was written poorly. I didn't like the script, but that doesn't take away from what he was able to do.
There are things. I hate John Goodman in the movie.
And I love John Goodman.
Yeah.
But I hate John Goodman in the movie. And I just felt it was written, that it took some turns that I didn't like where they went with them. But that doesn't take away from him. And that's pretty much you could say about any Denzel movie. You go through his filmography, yeah, there's movies that, you know, maybe I didn't like, but I can't pick a role and say, oh, Denzel just wasn't good in that. Denzel just was subpar in that. Because even in bad movies, he's really good. You look at Mo Better Blues, which I hope that's not your number one.
It isn't.
Because
it's yours.
That's the kind of movie I loved at the time. That time of my life, I loved those kind of, you know, noirish kind of movies. And I was very excited for that. Didn't really like, or no, what did I say? Mo Better Blues?
Yes.
I meant Devil in a Blue Dress. Not Mo Better Blues.
Neither of those is my number one.
Devil in a Blue Dress, it was the kind of movie that I lived for at that time. And it was, I didn't like it. Nothing against Denzel. He was great in that, but just not a good movie. And just go through his whole filmography. It's like, yeah, Virtuosity was crap, but Denzel's good in it. I have no clue where we're at. My number two?
I just did my number two, so as long as yours isn't Flight, I think we're in good shape.
All right, so my number four is now my number two. It's one of those that I just said where even if he's in a bad movie, he's great in it.
More Better Blues.
I don't think this is a bad movie, but it's not one of my favorite Denzel movies, but it might single-handedly be my favorite Denzel performance. Say what you will about the movie. 1998's He Got Game. Co-starring Ray Allen as Jesus Shuttlesworth. Yeah. I was big into basketball at the time. You know, it kind of didn't deliver what I wanted it to. It kind of let me down. It wasn't as amazing as I wanted it to be. Spike Lee took some chances as a director that I wasn't 100% on board with. But, man, did Denzel bring it in this
casting
movie.
Ray Allen? I mean.
Well, that he didn't do terrible.
No, he didn't, but
it was a risk because, I mean, that cast was Ray Allen, Mila Jovovich, Rosario Dawson, Hill Harper, Ned Beatty, Jim Brown. So, I mean, he had a good cast. It's just he did a lot of stuff during the movie that I didn't like, but Denzel's character, because usually you root for Denzel. Usually Denzel's so likable that he's not the bad guy.
Even when he's a jerk in Flight, he's a terrible person. He's still rooted for him.
He's a terrible person, and He Got Game. And at no point do you really, root for him. And, you know, for somebody that's not likable to go out there and play a villain, that's, you know, one thing. But for Denzel, who you love, every time you see him, he's the guy you're supposed to root for. To pull this role off in He Got Game where he doesn't care about it. He doesn't care about Jesus Shuttlesworth. He doesn't care about his son. Everything he does is motivated 100% by trying to get himself out of jail that he put himself in. He's there because of decisions he made. So now he's trying to leverage his son to get a shorter sentence. And it's so selfish and so self-centered, and everything he does is so motivated by greed and selfishness. But it's one of the better performances of Denzel's career. And that says a lot because the guy is an amazing actor and has a million great performances, but just him and He Got Game, I think, on another level.
It was very good. So I think that leaves us with our number ones.
Which is probably a co-number one.
Which could very well be a co-number one. This wasn't actually your number one, because we had to do a flip-flop.
It was my number two.
With Fallen. My number one, Dave and I both like boxing movies, so I could see where maybe there's crossover. But again, it's not my favorite Denzel movie per se, but it might be my favorite Denzel performance, and it's one that he won the Golden Globe for, and it was a story that was very much near and dear to his heart, and it was the true story of Reuben, the Hurricane Carter, from 1999's The Hurricane. I should even call it a boxing movie, because it's not, there's not really a lot of boxing in it. You know, for a guy that was a middleweight champion, he was a great boxer, but it's set more, way more about the story of him being falsely imprisoned for a triple homicide in a New Jersey bar and spending pretty much 20 years in jail before this young kid, played by Vasilius Rayon Shannon, kind of takes up his cause. After reading his autobiography, you know, the kid, they strike up kind of a pen pal type friendship. He convinces his Canadian foster family to help out and take the case to court, and they fight. And after several years, he finally does get out. It was based on the book that the Hurricane actually wrote. Not, again, it's not a super boxing movie, but I think the story is really, really good. And I think that his portrayal of not only the boxer of the Hurricane, but his portrayal of Reuben Carter, the falsely imprisoned guy who, after 20 years, could have been the most bitter person in the world, but he wasn't. And I thought Denzel did a really, really good job there. So, yeah, I guess that would be, that's my favorite Denzel movie/performance of all of times.
My original number two, it's accurate, because it would be, you know, it would be behind Fallen as my favorite Denzel movie. I'm not going to say it's the best Denzel performance, but as far as rewatchability, I will never be able to watch 2004's Man on Fire enough. I mean, that movie, it's so good, and it kind of, you know, Denzel keeps getting older, but he stays such a badass, and this movie delivered it. Again, inner conflict. Like, yeah, he's hunting down, you know, he's looking for Dakota Fanning. He's trying to, you know, there are villains, but he's not face-to-face with them most of the time. It's a lot of it is just Denzel on his own on the hunt. And it's, you know, one of Tony Scott, like, it was the kind of movie Tony Scott is great at. And Denzel makes it more than a dumb action movie.
And in fairness, like, Tony Scott directed Crimson Tide, so he did well with Denzel.
Yeah, because, yeah, there's one of my honorable mentions. It was also a Tony Scott movie. But yeah, this is another one of those, like Fallen. You cast just a movie star in Fallen, it falls flat. You cast just a movie star that doesn't have Denzel. And that's not saying Denzel's not a movie star. Denzel's also an actor. And there's a difference between a movie star and an actor. Few people are both. Denzel's both. But if you just cast Jason Statham in Man on Fire, it's a completely different movie. But Denzel brings that air of human to it. Like, there's this feel of, oh yeah, it's not just, you know, it's not just a guy hunting down the kidnappers it took to go to Fanning. It's a guy that you care about, because you can tell there's something going on inside him. You get to know him, you like him, and you wouldn't want to be on his bad side. So it's just such a good movie. And these are the kind of roles that this time in his career, I love seeing Denzel in these kind of movies. Kind of why I'm still on board with The Equalizer, because just Denzel in that kind of role is what I love seeing Denzel do now. So Man on Fire is my default number one.
I think that's a really good one. I'm not surprised that it made your number one. I think that there are probably people around this great nation of ours sitting at home going, you guys really just did 10 Denzel movies. And
Training Day isn't in.
Yeah, I mean, that movie came up, but didn't make either of our lists. it is obviously probably, I think, maybe his most famous performance, especially with guys maybe our age. Maybe if you're a little older, maybe it's Malcolm X. But I think that Training Day is kind of the prototypical Denzel movie. And it is, you mentioned him kind of playing the bad guy and he's got game. I mean, this is him being the bad guy as well. But
yeah,
he was like the Stone Cold Steve Austin kind of bad guy that you still rooted for, like, because he was so damn cool. I mean, nobody cared about Ethan Hawke. Not really. No,
they still don't.
No, they still don't.
So Training Day, we know Training Day.
Yeah, I get it.
If you've never listened to our show, we try not to put the obvious ones, but honestly, for me, that's not my favorite Denzel movie. And it's great, but that's why it's so... I mean, I list off...
Realistically, I probably like it better than Ricochet.
I don't, because Ricochet hit me at a time when... I saw that when I was 12. So, like, I liked that, and I still like that movie. But you want to run down... I'm going to run down my honorable mentions in chronological order. Glory...
Yeah,
is one of the first things I saw him in.
Yep,
he won the Oscar for it. That's an amazing movie. He's so good in that. Like, him winning the Oscar for that, so justified, because that was so good. 92, Malcolm X, obviously. 93, kind of got his thunder stolen by Tom Hanks, but tell me he didn't deliver in Philadelphia.
Well, that was the thing. Philadelphia is one that sticks out. Like, oh yeah, how can you not put that on there? Because when I think, a bit like Ricochet, when I think of that, I don't think of Philadelphia as a Denzel movie. I think of it as a Tom Hanks movie, and that's justifiable.
But that's justifiable, but even going back then, it's like, how did Denzel not even get nominated for supporting in that movie? I mean, I just, that blows my mind. I don't understand. Like, that movie's so good all around, and Tom Hanks so justified for winning for it. How's Denzel not even nominated for it? Then we jump forward to 1990.
Well, you want to stay in 93 in the Pelican Brief. That was the same year.
Yeah, Pelican Brief with Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
I'm jumping ahead to 99, The Bone Collector.
Yeah.
This one, it's similar to Fallen, where it's more of a psychological thriller, but he's quadriplegic. Like, he's a detective in a wheelchair trying to guide Angelina Jolie to find this serial killer. And it's pretty good. Like, when he wants to make this kind of movie, he does pretty well.
A little like Man on Fire, where he's not necessarily face-to-face. You know, he's kind of using Angelina Jolie as his surrogate. And very good.
And then 2001, Training Day. 2006, this one was hard leaving off my top five, but I feel this is more of a Clive Owen movie than Denzel movie. Inside Man.
Yeah.
But what I like about Inside Man is that's the third Spike Lee movie he did.
Yeah.
Completely different. I mean, Malcolm X, he got game. Inside Man, way different movies. And where I didn't like, where he got game lost me because some of the chances Spike Lee took, and you know, I felt like Spike Lee got in his own way. Inside Man was straightforward, and that's the first thing that showed me, like, oh, Spike can make just a straightforward movie,
and it doesn't have to seem like a Spike Lee joint.
Yeah, like, that's the first time it's like, oh, he's capable of getting out of his own way and just making a good movie.
Right.
And then that was 2006. Also 2006, I touched on it, also directed by Tony Scott. Deja Vu, hard movie to market because it's hard to say what it's about, because I've seen it a few times, still couldn't tell you what it's about, but a really good movie. And I mean, I know I missed a lot, but that's a dozen Denzel movies that I legitimately love.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only one that I would really wanted to pump the brakes on was 2000, Remember the Titans. I thought he was really good as the coach in that. I mean, I don't love sports movies, especially if they're serious. I don't really care. But I did think I was a coach I'd have played for.
I mean, even stuff we're not mentioning. Last year, I know you liked Safe House.
Yeah.
Safe House was good.
Yeah, wrong with it. But
I wish he'd have had a better co-lead than Ryan Reynolds, but Denzel brought it in that.
Book of Eli was good. I thought he was fine in that.
American Gangster?
I hated that.
Was he bad in it?
No.
I mean, a lot of these.
He's not a bad actor. You can't find a movie that he's bad in.
Because we didn't even mention Antoine Fisher or John Q.
Nope.
Quality movies.
Yep. And he was awesome in both of those. But I think that's why.
The Siege? That almost made my list. I forgot to write that one. I like that movie.
Maybe, and I don't think it's necessarily unique to Denzel, but there were, you know, there's probably a couple actors that we could have done this to where they've got, it's really hard to pick five. But I think
we could do a top 20.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what's so awesome about Denzel is there could absolutely be a scenario out there in which, you know, we could have had 10 different movies. Now, we didn't. I mean, Fallen's kind of weird just because we both, that's like right in our wheelhouse. But you could probably ask 10 people on the street their, you know, five favorite Denzel movies, and Fallen wouldn't appear on any of them.
Which we actually, I reached out on Twitter, at Movies on Up. I meant to mention earlier that we're going to read some of those. Midlands Movies, you can go to midlandsmovies.com. That's a British movie podcast. They answered with Inside Man, Training Day, American Gangster, Book of Eli, and Fallen.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. And then
how's it going, guys?
Neil May, he hit us up on Twitter, at NeilMay1, Man on Fire, The Manchurian Candidate, and Deja Vu. Said those are three of his favorite Denzel movies.
Yeah, which, like, neither of us even mentioned Manchurian Candidate.
I honestly didn't see it, but
I don't think I saw the Denzel version.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I didn't see that one. But basically, you can't go wrong with Denzel. Like, if a Denzel movie's on, there's at no point.
It's probably not going to suck.
At no point, if anybody puts on a Denzel movie, it's like, oh, I'm not going to watch this. Even if it's something like Devil in a Blue Dress or Mo Better Blues, I'll watch it. Like, because he's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, especially at this point in his career. Like, if you really want to dig, yeah, maybe you can find some stuff that you don't care for. Maybe you don't like Carbon Copy. All right, that was 1981.
It's pretty funny, though, actually.
I'm just saying, like, go back, you know, to his newer stuff, Unstoppable.
George McKenna story.
I liked that fine. And yeah. I got no interest in a movie about a train.
See, that's Unstoppable, another Tony Scott one. Like, that's one of those that, am I going to say Unstoppable is one of my favorite movies? No. Am I going to sell it as a great movie?
No.
If it's on TV and I have nothing to do, am I going to watch it?
Yeah.
Taking a Pelham 1-2-3, check all that. Great movie? No. Going to tell you it's amazing? No. Will I watch it? Yeah, absolutely. So that's a lot. But even Two Guns. I think Two Guns looks great.
I would like to see that.
Because you don't see Denzel in a lot of buddy stuff. Like, a lot of what Denzel does so well is that inner turmoil stuff. So you see him by himself a lot. So to see him buddy up with somebody like Marky Mark. And well,
I mean, the interplay there, you know, in Safe House, it was okay, but it was Ryan Reynolds. And, you know, you can go back to, Training
condition.
Day. You can go back to Heart Condition. But, you know, you go back to Training Day, and it's Ethan Hawke. But, I mean,
But Denzel's driving that train.
Yeah, he definitely is. But, I mean, I think when he can sort of play off somebody else. Now, these are guys that, oh, my God, Ethan Hawke, Ryan Reynolds, and then Marky Mark. Which one of those is the heavy hitter? It's Marky Mark. But, you know, like, he's able to do fine with those other two. So, I actually think that
it
with
looks
Wahlberg,
really
it would be really fun.
Do I think it's going to be one of the best movies of the year? No. Does it look entertaining as hell? Absolutely. So I think that's enough Denzel talk for the day. Before we go, we like to give a bonus watch this in our discussion episode. So this week, bonus watch this. Ryan, tell them a Marky Mark movie to watch.
I will absolutely give a Mark Wahlberg movie to watch. And I was kind of toying between two of them. One of them, I feel like I brought both of these up already, and I just went with The Perfect Storm, because Mark Wahlberg, I think everybody knows him obviously from like Boogie Nights. You know, that was maybe his first really breakout role, but I kind of felt like he had either some supporting roles or maybe quirky type things that he had done. I mean, this movie, he was just playing a regular dude in an incredibly tense situation with guys that were also really great actors. And he absolutely held his own. I kind of think that, and maybe you can make the argument that he had his coming out party, you know, earlier. Maybe it was Boogie Nights. I don't know. But I would argue that this is the point where you could legitimately say that Mark Wahlberg actually is a talented dude. He can be an actor, and he doesn't just have to be a dude with his shirt off. Or, you know, he doesn't have to play kind of some doofus, you know. He can be a very compelling actor.
Yeah, no, he absolutely can. And I struggled a little bit with this because I thought, okay, you know, he's in like an action comedy. Watch The Other Guys, because that'll show how good he does comedy.
Yeah.
Because The Other Guys is hilarious, and he's really good in that. But then I thought, okay, maybe I'll go a Marky Mark like action movie, something like Shooter. that seems to kind of went under the radar, but he's a legitimate action star in that movie, and it's his Bourne movie, essentially, and it's really good. But in the end, I went with one of his early movies, one that doesn't get talked about a whole bunch, The Big Hit. A little wacky, a little crazy, a little silly. Lou Diamond Phillips, Bokeem Woodbine, Clifton Collins Jr., I believe. But it's just a lot of fun. Like, this is just fun, Marky Mark, in an action-type setting. But
I liked that movie, but I don't know if I wanted to stand on my soapbox and just talk about the serious actor that is Marky Mark from Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. But I had a lot of fun with that one. I think very easily, and I either wanted to go Three Kings, that was kind of the other one I was kicking around, or, you know, obviously The Fighter. He was pretty good in that movie, too.
Antonio Sabato Jr., not Clifton Collins Jr.
We apologize to both juniors, as we might have missed that. Yeah, so not bad to stick in a couple Marky Mark movies at the end of our very serious discussion of the filmography of Denzel Washington.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was fun. I like doing that. We're definitely going to do more actors soon.
Antonio Sabato Jr. is probably coming up.
And Clifton Collins Jr. We'll combine those.
No, we won't, because that's disrespectful.
Do a top two, maybe, see if we can find two. But this is the first week of the new format. Earlier this week, we discussed the movie Smashed, which, if you've seen it, give it a listen. Spoiler alert, we both liked it. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Next week, we're talking Percy Jackson and the Olympians. I think we'll have less positive things to say about that. And then our discussion episode next week is our favorite movies starring an SNL cast member from 2000 on. So that'll be fun. Until then, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, Twitter, @moviesonup, facebook.com/moviesonup. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Do that. Reach out to us. We love to hear from you. Hit us up, moviesonup.com. We're trying to blog when we can. Also, we're on iTunes or Stitcher. Leave us reviews or do whatever you do on either one of those. And
tell a friend.
Yeah, tell a friend. You can find me at Dave Becella on Twitter, or go to DaveBecella.com and you can see everything I do. So
let us know what you think of the new format. If you're down for two more discussion-heavy episodes per week, that's kind of why we switched to begin with. So we hope you like it. You know, if it is something you like, let us know. We love to hear from you no matter how it is. So I guess until we see you next week with our discussion of Percy Jackson and more recent Saturday Night Live alumni,
keep it up.